I'm Eric Allen for KLCC. The Spring Creek Project for Ideas, Nature, and the Written Word presents a free symposium entitled Transformation Without Apocalypse, How to Live Well on an Altered Planet. It will be held at the LaSalle Stewart Center on the Oregon State University campus in Corvallis on Friday and Saturday, February 14th and 15th, and will feature keynote speakers ranging from author Ursula K. Le Guin to environmental activist Tim DeChristopher to eco-philosopher Joanna Macy, as well as having workshops, a film and literature festival, and more. Joining me by phone at KLCC is keynote speaker Sarah Van Gelder, co-founder and editor-in-chief of Yes Magazine. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, so glad to be here.
Well, one way in which our planet is being altered is via climate change. Does the focus of this conference represent a growing shift in consciousness away from whether or not our planet's climate is changing to an acceptance that it is?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And I think that, you know, there's a great deal of concern, especially among young people, about what kind of future they're going to be inheriting. There's the question of what climate will do to our water supplies and what it'll do to having more extreme storms. But they also get to questions that go right to the heart of our existence, like, will we be able to produce enough food, and will we be able to maintain the size population that we're growing into? And I think a lot of what this conference is about is saying, you know, let's get the transformation going so that we can mitigate, we can prevent some of the more disastrous potential consequences of climate change. And then let's also get ready to adapt to the climate change that's already upon us.
What kind of transformations, then, do you think are really necessary to begin that process?
What I'm going to be talking about in my keynote speech is about the importance of getting very grounded in our local place, getting really to where we really understand what the water supply is like where we live, what the food supply is like where we live, getting to know what makes our place really healthy, and getting to know the people there too. This is not just an environmental question. This is a question of how do we get along with other people, how do we form strong communities, and how do we get power by getting along with our neighbors and working together.
What other aspects of that do you see overlapping with this weekend symposium?
I think one of the most interesting one is how much of the most exciting innovation is taking place at the community scale. And one of the things I hope to talk about is the co-op movement in Cleveland, Ohio, is just one example of that, where the community decided that it wasn't good enough to have some really well-off institutions like a university and a big hospital amidst the sea of poverty. So they've worked together with a lot of other forces in the community to create worker-owned co-ops to supply some of the services that the hospital and the university need. By doing that, they're providing jobs, but they're also providing living wage jobs, and they're jobs that are rooted in the community, and they're democratic jobs because the people who are the worker owners are also in charge of their own workplace. So there's these amazing, amazingly wonderful models out there. A lot of those don't get a lot of press, but once you start looking, you see how many of the solutions are already well underway. And we have the option of picking them up in our own communities and making them even further the way that we do things.
Why do you think it's so difficult sometimes to get press for the positive instead of the disasters that often lead the headlines?
Well, I think there's two reasons. One is the news media is predisposed to go for things that are violent and terrible and shocking rather than things that are actually creating a better future. And I think our brains are sort of hardwired to pay attention to crises. I think, you know, that's how we survived, was by paying attention to the things that could threaten us. But the other thing is, I think the mainstream media has sort of a dated worldview that basically believes that the world that we have in terms of this sort of corporate world that's overtaxing the climate and causing this massive extinction of species, that this can somehow continue. We take that as a big question mark because the evidence seems to suggest it can continue. So while we're out looking for the people who are creating the new kind of a world that is sustainable and is more just and is more compassionate for each of us in how we live our lives, I think much of the corporate-owned media is just blind to that.
What would you like to see come out of this weekend symposium that'll translate to concrete action in the world?
I'd like people to feel that they have power, because I think our biggest impediment right now is not that we don't know what needs to be done. It's not that we're not caring and smart and creative enough to make the changes that need to be made. I think our biggest impediment is the sense that we don't have the power to make change.
Well, thank you for all the efforts that you're putting in there in making the world a better place.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sarah Van Gelder, co-founder and editor-in-chief of Yes Magazine, and a keynote speaker this Saturday, February 15th, at the free symposium called Transformation Without Apocalypse, How to Live Well on an Altered Planet. The symposium will be held in the LaSalle Stewart Center on the Oregon State University campus in Corvallis, Friday and Saturday, February 14th and 15th, presented by the Spring Creek Project for Ideas, Nature, and the Written Word. For more information, liberalarts.oregonstate.edu, and for more on Yes Magazine, yesmagazine.org. For KLCC, I'm Eric Allen.